Praise the Lord. It's time to look to the Word of God and trust the Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts today. The title this morning is A Commandment to Bless. Commandment to Bless. A few weeks ago, I was impressed or highlighted by the word remember or the word remembrance in Scripture. And I was surprised again how many times the word remembrance comes up. The Lord calling us to remember certain things, certain dealings, certain characteristics about Him, to remember the Lord, to remember His goodness. And the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 3:1 said, he wrote his letters, 1 and 2 Peter, that he would stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, that we would be mindful of the words of the holy prophets, the Old Testament writings, and also the commandments of the apostles of the Lamb, the writings of the New Testament. How important it is for us to remember. God says, I want you to remember certain things. And so the scriptures quickly surface in my heart. The Lord, the Bible says, God remembered Noah, and God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the fires of destruction, out of the midst of the overthrow. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. The Lord said, remember what the Lord did unto Miriam and the judgments that came upon her life because of sin and rebellion. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Lord your God. Remember the days of darkness. And we're going to deal with that today. So we remember certain things, and the Lord is encouraging us to put our minds back to the Word of God in certain areas. Last message, I spoke on the aspect, remember the Lord who fights for you. And remember the way in which the Lord led you to humble you, to keep you dependent on Him. How many are so conscious every day of your need for the Lord? That is a blessing of God. That is a mercy of God to keep you close with Him and to keep the enemies of pride and self-sufficiency off your life. Remember the way in which the Lord leads you, and surrender to that. And in these messages, I'm trying to pair up certain remembrances, and today we're going to look at a couple more. And the first one is, remember the days of darkness. Remember the days of darkness. Times when God speaks to you, dark times, difficult times. Remember the days of darkness, what you learned there, what God was processing, what God was refining in your life, where God was leading you. Ecclesiastes 11:8 says, but if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Now there's no doubt that the writer of Ecclesiastes is looking to and has a reference to old age. Some days of darkness, difficult days, but these days of darkness apply to all situations and circumstances of life where we are in a difficulty or trial, sorrow, calamity, different situations and pressure of circumstances. The Lord says, remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. But He says there's something in those days of darkness that I am working out a purpose in your life. And so today we remember the days of darkness, times of difficulty, times of strain, times of temptation, trial. It may be that you are in a day of darkness today. There may be many wonderful things happening in your life, but you're facing a darkness, a season of darkness in some area. The Lord wants to speak to you. Sometimes darkness comes, and I'm going to sprinkle a few of these in. Sometimes darkness comes because we need correction. We need adjustment from the Lord. We need the disciplines of the Lord. I look back on my life and I remember the days of darkness, times where God was dealing with some character situation in my life or some circumstance. The Lord comes to work in us. Psalm 119 and verse 67 to 68, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. David came under the loving discipline of the Lord. God never comes to destroy. He comes to correct. He comes to lead us on for our betterment. He always has his best interests in mind. And like a good father, sometimes he corrects. David said, now I keep your word. You've taught me. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Hebrews chapter 12. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. But what son is there whom a father does not chasten or discipline? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons at all. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? God wants us to live. He wants us to experience the abundant life. He wants to set us free from our flesh life and from those personality points that bear us down. God wants to set us free. Now, our human fathers, we respected them and listened. And we must respect the Lord. The Lord comes to correct. The Lord comes to change. The Lord comes to discipline sometimes. But do we readily respond to the Lord and say, Lord, I'll take your disciplines. I'll take your correction in my life and I'll walk with you. Sometimes we experience days of darkness because we're under the correction and the discipline of the Lord. Sometimes we experience days of darkness because we're under direct satanic attack. The enemy of our soul comes against our lives, like he did to Job, like he did to Peter. I want to have Peter that I may sift him as wheat, that I may sift him out. I want to break his life. I want to break his faith. Sometimes we come under enemy attack, like Job, like Jesus. Jesus said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Jesus knew he was entering a conflict against the enemy. And sometimes in our life, in our circumstance, our temptation, our trial, our sickness, whatever it is, sometimes we are entering into direct conflict with Satan. There's attack against our life. This is your hour and the power of darkness, Jesus said. But the enemy could not stop the Son of God in that darkness because of his surrender, because of his commitment, because of his steadfast allegiance to the will of God. And when we are facing enemy attack, it's a time to stand. Having done all to stand, we don't give up any ground because we are there battling Satan and because God wants us to prove out our faith before principalities and powers of darkness. Sometimes, when we're facing darkness, we are proving out our faith before principalities and powers of darkness and how important it is to stand for the Lord. Anyone facing days of darkness right now? Sometimes we face days of darkness because of our inattentiveness, because of indifference, because of sluggishness, carelessness in our lives. We're not as precise. We're not as attentive as we need to be to the Lord. Bringing every thought into captivity, ordering every day in the presence of God. Sometimes we stray from that precise walk of life in the Spirit. David said in Psalm 77, David went through an experience like this in his own heart. He said, I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. David, you remembered God and you were troubled? What's taking place in your life? He said, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. David was going through some darkness in his own soul and in his own life. Formerly, when he thought about God, those thoughts renewed him. Those thoughts inspired him. He was brought to life as he thought on the Lord. But right in this situation, he said, whenever I think about God, I'm troubled. I'm troubled. Anguish takes hold of my soul. You know what David did in those times? This psalm tells us that he began to search out the Lord. He began to search out his own heart. And he found the disturbance that brought the darkness upon him, that spiritual darkness to his soul, where he wasn't invigorated by the power of God and walking in the joy and power of God. He found the disturbance to be in his own soul. He indicted himself. He charged himself. He said, the culprit is in my own heart. It's my unbelief. It's my lack of tenacity toward the Lord right now. That's what's bringing this heaviness. That's what's bringing this darkness upon me. And he began to call out to the Lord. And look what he said in verse 10. He said, and I said, this is my anguish. Or he said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. David began to remember the Lord. He began to come against his unbelief. He began to remember the works God had done, the great work of the Lord, the wonders in his life. And by the time you come to the end of this psalm, he is praising and rejoicing and prophesying of the victory and the power of God, not only in his life, but in the history of Israel. And he walks out of his situation a new man. Sometimes we face days of darkness because of our inattentiveness, because of our spiritual sluggishness, because we're not precise enough in our spiritual dealing and when we're walking with the Lord. Sometimes we face days of darkness because the Lord is endeavoring to lead us, to create something in us, to take us on from where we are. Sometimes we experience a withdrawing God. Seems like God is, he's drawn away from me. I can sense he's there, but he's drawing away from me. And in those times, we feel a darkness, but it's the Lord trying to lead us on from where we are into inheritance, into his future. He's trying to recreate. He's trying to reposition us. He's trying to do a new thing in us. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. I'm on the move. In the Old Testament, when the cloud lifted from the tabernacle and began to shift, the people of God had to pack up their tents and follow out with the presence of the Lord. Sometimes the Lord draws away from us because he's trying to lead us on into him, lead us into something that's before us, lead us out of where we have been maybe for months or even years of our life, but the Lord's trying to do a new thing. And so we sense a darkness, but it's the Lord who's withdrawn because he wants us to search him out and follow him. The Bible says, draw me, we will run after you. Draw me. When the Lord seems to move away, call out to him, draw me. We will run after you, O Lord. Whatever you're doing in this new season of my life, wherever you're leading my life or the church, I want to follow out after you. So we experience days of darkness. Bible says, remember the days of darkness. Learn the lessons in the days of darkness. Learn the refining, what God has done. Psalm 66 says that sometimes the Lord lets men ride over our heads. People make decisions for us that we had no part of. Sometimes we go through fire and water. Sometimes we go through refining of the Lord. He's trying to get the dross off our life so that he can bring us out, as the scripture says, into rich fulfillment. Rich fulfillment. He's always seeking our good. And when the Lord is refining us, when the Lord is leading, when the Lord is working with us, let the dross come to the surface. If there's any unbelief, if there's any inattentiveness in our hearts, let it come off, O Lord. We don't want to be like the people of Israel, where the Lord says, I blew my fire upon you. I wanted to bring you forth as purified silver and gold. I put the fire under you. I even put some lead into the molten crucible of silver and gold to attract the impurities. But God says, you wouldn't come to me. You wouldn't let me refine you. You wouldn't let me change you. God says, the lead was consumed in the fire, and I couldn't even get the dross off. The Lord is seeking our benefit. The Lord is seeking to lead us and guide us. What do we do in days of darkness? What do we do when we're facing some calamity, some pressure in circumstances, some enemy attack, some difficulty and strain in our life? What do we do? We must draw near to the Lord so that he can speak to us, so we can discern the time and the season that we're in. That we don't recoil from the darkness, but we say, Lord, what are you doing? I sense strain on my spirit. There's unbelief in me, Lord. There's pressure of circumstance. Where are you leading me? What are you doing in me? We draw near to the Lord. I like Psalm 49 and verses 4 to 5. Psalmist says, I will incline my ear to a proverb, to a difficult saying, to something hard to understand. I will disclose my dark saying on the harp. Why should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity at my heels surrounds me? Why should I fear in the days of evil? This singer, this worshiper says, I'm going to incline my ear to the parables of the Lord, to that which is difficult to understand in my life, in my situation, in my family, in what I'm going through. I will disclose my dark saying on the harp. I need to get into the worship of the house of God. I need to get under a prophetic worship anointing and there to begin to understand what the Lord is doing in my life. There to interpret the circumstances that have unfolded. There to interpret what I believe God is trying to say to me as he leads me on in faith before him. Psalm 78:2, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. I will utter dark sayings. We have dark days. There are dark sayings. There are these dark times and proverbs. And we must get into the presence of the Lord to understand our situations. What is happening upon our lives? There's darkness in your marriage this morning. Get into the presence of God. Get into the anointing of the worship and say, Lord, what is this darkness and how do I deal with it? Maybe there's darkness on your physical body today, infirmity, some struggle in your physical body. You call out on the word of the Lord, call out on God, get into the presence of God until a word from the Lord comes, a word of wisdom to help you, a word of direction to guide you. Circumstances, you're at your occupation, at your job, and it seems like things are disrupted and dispeace and not at peace for you, and you begin to call out on God, Lord, what are you saying? What is this darkness? What is the word of the Lord to me? Begin to prophesy because of the worship of the Lord, and you'll know, because the Lord does not withhold his secrets from those who walk faithfully before him. Though he hold us back at times for our development, yet he will give us the word in his timing in the right season. We will know exactly what to do and what to say. So we wait upon the Lord. We wait upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord in the darkness. Call upon the Lord in the struggle and in the trial. Lord, what are you doing? What are you saying to me? How can I understand what I'm facing right now in my life? 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. Sometimes we start judging ourselves too soon, our circumstance, what's taking place. We judge too soon before the Lord has come. Judge nothing before the time. Wait for the Lord in your darkness. Wait for the Lord in your family. Wait for the Lord in your finances. Wait for the Lord in the health of your physical body. Wait on the Lord until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. The Lord will bring to light the hidden things of darkness in your life. I love this about the Lord, how faithful he is to come and speak to us. Sometimes we get caught up in the realms of men and the voices of people. And people sometimes are quick to judge, and sometimes we're quick to judge people. But we should back off and say, I will wait till the Lord comes. Unless I have a word from the Lord, I don't know what's taking place in my brother or sister's life or in their circumstance. So I will be patient and I will pray toward their answer as well. Sometimes a person's going through trial or a circumstance or a suffering. And we can be so quick to say, you know, too bad for that person, tough luck. Wonder what's going on. We can make judgments. We can say things we shouldn't say. Job was going through a trial, an attack of Satan. But in it was also a refining process of God. God was going to bring him out into a double portion, twice as much as he had before. But listen to the voices of his friends and of his comforters and even of his wife, curse God and die. He was in the darkness alone, crying out on God. The comforters were there, and they were miserable comforters. They were positioned doctrinally on one point, but they did not have the full counsel of God, and they did not give the right assessment to Job. But Job waited in the darkness until the Lord came. Until the Lord came. You've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate. That's what the writers say in regard to Job. You've seen the end. You've seen the work of the Lord. That the Lord is very compassionate, of great mercy, and he brings his people from glory to glory, and from strength to strength, and from favor to favor, and from shalom to shalom. And so we surrender to the Lord in our darkness. Lord, show me your way. Give me your word. Give me your word. Deuteronomy 33 says of Joseph that the Lord would bring forth the precious things of the sun, and the precious fruits brought forth by the moon. Day and night upon our lives, seasons of great prosperity and then times of adversity. Remember the days of darkness. What is God processing? What is God saying? What is God doing? The precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and the precious fruits brought forth by the moon. As long as the earth remains, there will be day and night, summer and winter, cold and heat, seed time and harvest. And our lives need the shift of day and night. We need the turn of the seasons upon us to bring forth the mature fruit of God in our lives. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. But he meditates in the law of the Lord. He immerses his life in confession of the word of God and searching of the word of God. The Bible says day and night. Now we're applying it spiritually. Seasons of day and seasons of night spiritually, a darkness. But this righteous man is immersing himself in the word, quoting the word, praying the word of God. And the Bible says this tree of righteousness will come forth with fruit in his season. Because the day and the night are both alike to the Lord. The day and the night are both alike to the Lord. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. Psalm 112. To the righteous, light rises in the darkness, not only after the darkness, but God comes in the darkness and he ministers to his people and he gives them light and he helps them understand the dark saying and the dark parables that are going on in their life. Micah 7 and verse 8, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. Don't rejoice against me, enemy. Don't think you're going to gain any ground in my life. We give no place to the devil in the times of darkness. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. God will come. God will come by his presence. Never jump off a train when it's going through a tunnel. When you don't know what to do, don't make a hasty decision. You get into the presence of God, get into the prayer rooms, get into the worship, begin to wait on God until you hear a word from God that gives you the light you need in that darkness, and then you will know what to say, and you will know what to do, and you will know where to go. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He is the light in the darkness. Hallelujah. Remember the days of darkness. Remember the days of darkness. If you look back on your life and see the refining and the purging of the Lord and the correction of the Lord and how you've overcome the enemy and how you've been strengthened for spiritual warfare and how the fruit of God has come upon your life. As David said, I remember the Lord. I remember his wonders. I remember his goodness. And that should be a comfort to us in the present darkness, the circumstance right now, knowing that the Lord is at work because we belong to him and he will do his good work. And so we pray in the darkness, Lord, show me. We might not have direction for a week or two or a month or more, but one thing we have, his word is a lamp to our feet. We'll have enough to go every day. We'll have enough to take one step at a time. Let's not concern ourselves with the days and weeks and months ahead. Let's say, Lord, what do you have for me right now? I see your light. I'm going to rejoice in you. I thank you for your goodness right now. I thank you for strength. I thank you that I have my spiritual wits about me right now and my victory in my hand, Lord, and I'm going to walk with you every step until you lead me out of the darkness to where you want me to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let the darkness overpower you. Don't let the darkness overwhelm you. Don't let it turn you from the Lord. Run to the Lord. Draw in close to the Lord because he gives light in the darkness. And my second point today is, and I hope it flows in with this one, in spirit. Remember what Balak consulted and what Balaam answered him. Remember what Balak consulted. Hallelujah. Micah 6 and 5. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. Or we could say, and what the Lord answered him, because Balaam could only speak the words of the Lord. Remember what Balak, the king of Moab, consulted or counseled, and what the Lord answered him from Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. Don't miss that last line, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. God wants us to understand his righteousness this morning. He wants us to understand his spirit toward his people, his heart toward every one of us. God says this is hundreds of years, obviously, after the situation that took place in Numbers 22, and the Lord is reminding his people, remember what Balak did. And how I answered him, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. Draw some comfort this morning, God is saying, from the righteousness of the Lord. In Numbers 21, the children of Israel came to across from Jericho on the eastern side of the Jordan. They were there to enter the promised land, to take the inheritance they'd been promised. And as they came up on that eastern side of the Jordan, they came up into the land of Moab. And the king of Moab became very distressed. He said, these people are going to dispossess me. They're going to destroy my inheritance. I know their God. I know the wonders of their God. I know the power of their God and the miracles and signs and wonders that have taken place. And King Balak said, I'm going to hire a sorcerer. I'm going to hire the most reputable, the most renowned wizard that I know, and I'm going to come and I'm going to ask him to curse these people, to bring a word of judgment against these people. It may be I will be able to prevail over them. And so as they came, this king began to offer sacrifices and build altars on the hills. And there were the people of God down in the plain. And King Balak took some of his prize bulls and prize rams and he built altars on the hills. The people of God could see this taking place. They could see the smoke of this sacrifice rising. And he brought in this Balaam, this wizard, this authority of darkness to curse the people of God. And as Balaam came, it was found that, you know, if by any means King Balak could, if he could just get Balaam to drop one word or two words of curse against this people, but you know what? Balaam could not open his mouth to even bring one word of curse, one word of reproach against the people of God. King Balak said, I want to, use this man to draw God off his people. But God could not be drawn off his people. And the devil could not open his mouth. And the word of the Lord went forth in power and blessing on this people. What a glorious Lord we serve. There is no sorcery. There is no divination. There is no curse against the people of God. No enemy of darkness can open his mouth to put a curse on the people of God. No generational curse, no family curse, no devil curse on the people of God. Because the devil can't open his mouth. God says, I protect my people. And he says, I want you to remember what Balak did. He tried to bring a curse, but he couldn't open his mouth. He could give no answer. And the only answer that came was the blessing of the Lord. God says, I want you to remember my righteousness. I want you to remember how I deal with you. There's no curse that can come across the bloodline of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. There is no curse of darkness that can cross the bloodline and the authority of Jesus Christ in our lives. Every few years, a wind of doctrine blows through the body of Christ. Generational curses and family curses and devil curses. And because it's sensational, people pick up on it, and even ministers pick up on it. But I find no basis in the Word of God for it at all. And I don't find it in the Word of God because no curse can come across the bloodline. And I say if we want to play, and each of us has to make up our mind, but if we want to play in the realm of generational curses and family curses, the devil might have a heyday with us. With all kinds of manifestations and fanciful speculations. But it's not a wise way of life. Our way is we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Our families are cleansed. The blood is protecting us. And there is no divination. There is no curse. There is no power of darkness that can come against our lives and our families. When we face darkness, we're being processed by the Lord. We're learning of the Lord. We're walking with Him. But His hand is fervent upon our lives. Listen to these words in Numbers 23. Balaam began to speak. He could only speak the words of the Lord. The Lord intercepted this sorcerer and spoke through his life. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. There, a people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number one-fourth of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous and let my end be like his. Numbers 23 and verse 20, the next blessing of Balaam. Behold, I have received a command to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. God has blessed, and there's not a devil that can reverse it. Hallelujah. Numbers 23, verses 23 to 24. For there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. There's no curse. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. Look, a people rises like a lioness and lifts itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. These mighty conquerors who have the lion of the tribe of Judah in them. No sorcery, no divination. Numbers 24, 5 to 9. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel. Like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. These prophecies are for us today as much as they were for the Israel back then. This is the Lord speaking over us. His king shall be higher than Agag, or he shall pour water from his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. He shall consume the nations, his enemies. He shall break their bones and pierce them with his arrows. He bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who shall rouse him? Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. Hallelujah. What words from the Lord? What words from the Lord? Remember what Balak did and how the Lord answered him, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then Numbers 24 and verse 17, you know, the Lord put a wound on Moab, and God put a mark of displeasure on Moab and King Balak and Balaam for that which, that disgraceful thing which they tried to do that day. God said these words, I see him, but not now. Prophecy of Christ, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. It's not time yet, but a star shall come out of Jacob. Twinkle, twinkle, Christmas star. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. God says Moab is going to have a brow battered and a forehead shattered. I'm putting a mark of displeasure. I'm putting a judgment against anyone who would try and disgrace my people and bring a curse upon their lives. Hallelujah. Now Micah 6:5 says, remember, remember what Balak tried to do. Tried to curse, tried to denounce. And remember how I answered him. Total blessing on the people of God. No sorcery, no divination, no curse. Blessing, fruitfulness, life, the power of a lion, like gardens and meadows and fruitful places. God says, that's my word to my people. Remember what I did, what he did, and what I said, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord, that you may know how kindly God deals with his people, that you may remember the faithfulness of God, that he has so many thoughts toward us, thoughts of blessing and benefit and goodness that they can't even be counted. They are more than the number of grains of the sand. That all night long, the Bible says, when we're asleep, God is thinking about us. And when we wake up in the morning, he's still with us. He's still there. His thoughts are flowing toward our lives. Our God is a God of blessing. He wants to lead us. He wants to mature us. He wants to guide us through adversity, through prosperity. He has one goal, to bring many sons unto glory. Behold, I have received a commandment to bless. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Numbers 23:19. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and there's not a devil voice that can reverse it. That's what God says over his people. And so we put our trust in the Lord. We put our trust in the Lord. We rest in the Lord. Times of adversity, times of prosperity, times when the sun is shining bright, times when we're in the darkness of night, we submit ourselves to the Lord, knowing that the Lord's hand is on us for good. And we want to discern the season, and we want to discern what God's doing in our life, the refining, the disciplining, the bringing forth of fruitfulness, the leading us on in his ways, casting all our care upon him. For he cares for us. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Remember the righteousness of the Lord. Worship team, come. Days of darkness. Perhaps there are some of you today that need to draw close into the presence of God, not only in this service, but maybe in days and for weeks, maybe for months to come. So you can discern the darkness and what God's doing in your life. Go and wait on the Lord. It's amazing how much time people will go and wait in the doctor's office or the counseling office. Wow, hours upon hours, months and years of waiting and counseling. And yet the Bible says, unto us a son is born. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Counselor. Go into the presence of God and receive counsel for your life, for your personality, for your circumstances, for your family, for your job, for your future. Go and ask the Lord for counsel. Days of darkness when you don't know what to do, draw close to the Lord. My, I was in days of darkness in one area of my life for almost a year. This is many years ago now. And my, how I had to draw close to the Lord to make my way through, because I didn't know how. I couldn't make a decision on my own. I needed Him, and He guided me, and He helped me. Another situation of 8 or 10 months, I remember so clearly right now, drawing into the presence of the Lord. Lord, help me. What is going on? Why isn't healing manifesting? What is the situation in my life? And again, how beautifully. But it took many months, and all of a sudden the light shone in the darkness, and I had my answer from the Lord, and a brand new day came. That's how the Lord leads us. Remember the days of darkness and let God lead you. And remember, there's no curse against you that can ever take hold. The enemy can be up on the hills. You can see him up there. He's lurking around. It doesn't matter. God is a God of blessing. There is no sorcery. There's no curse. There's no divination. Don't even let the enemy get into your mind or your emotions in that realm. You take up the word of God. It's your defense. And the blood of Jesus Christ will set you free and hold you in victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God. Oh my, I'm lingering here for a moment. Let God comfort you this morning. If God be for us, who shall be against us? He's for us. He's so for us. He put a few chapters in the Bible in Numbers 22 to 24 to let us know how much He is for us, that any time a word would come against us, He's got a blessing, He's got a purpose, He's got a direction, He's got a destiny for us. And in the end, He will preserve us for His heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah. How great is our God. How great is our God? How great is our God? How great is your love, Lord? When we awake in the morning, you are still thinking of us, Lord. The pleasure of the Lord would prosper in our hands, Lord.